You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. Every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Thanks for letting us be part of your morning. Now again, Catholic Chicago.
Good morning, everybody. We would like to welcome you to the inaugural broadcast of what we think we're going to call Diaconia, a call to service. My name is Deacon Richard Hudzik, and joining me this morning, as I think will be joining me in all the months to come as we embark on this new venture for the church in Chicago and the diaconate in the Archdiocese, I have our good brother, Deacon David Brensick. As they say good morning, David.
Good morning.
Okay, good. I'm glad you didn't say good morning, David. What we're about is to talk to all those who are interested in about the call to service, how our faith calls us to be active participants in our faith, how this call is something for all of God's people. It is not merely for the ordained. It's not merely for ministers, instituted ministers, lay ministers. It's not only for the priests. So our hope is to talk about the diaconate call to service, and through that reflection, be instructive and helpful to others so that they might see in their own lives how they too are called to be of service and actively participating, in the Lord. David, did I leave anything out there or something you want to nuance there?
Just the fact that all people are called, and it's a matter of discerning how God is calling us in our lives and what we're being called to do to serve other people. How do we reach out and live our faith every day?
Okay. All right. So the hope is to be a show by deacons, but not a show about deacons. We're going to, as I say, call the show Diaconia, a call to service, and we'll explain that highfalutin Greek word as we go on. But before we do, and I think as you will hear as a constant refrain from us, that all of the work that we do begins with prayer, and we want to follow our own advice, if you will, and begin this show with a prayer and dedicate ourselves and dedicate this show to our Blessed Mother Mary. And we have a prayer Dave and I will alternate through the stanzas. It's relatively brief, and where it comes from is an introductory prayer to one of the Vatican documents on the diaconate. And so this is the prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to whom we dedicate this show and ourselves, and we invite you to pray along with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Mary, teacher of faith, by your obedience to the Word of God, you cooperated in a remarkable way with the work of redemption. Make the ministry of deacons and all ministers, all the faithful, effective by teaching them to hear the Word and to proclaim it faithfully.
Mary, teacher of charity, by your total openness to God's call, you cooperated in bringing to birth all of the Church's faithful. Make the call to holiness of us all fruitful by teaching us to give ourselves to the service of the people of God.
And Mary, teacher of prayer, through your maternal intercession, you have supported and helped the Church from her beginnings. Make each of us attentive to the needs of the faithful by teaching us the value of prayer. And we make this prayer in your Son's name, who is our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we invoke the blessing of Mary on this new endeavor. and just to introduce ourselves to you so that you might come to know who Dave and I are, and you might be able to, see what we talk about as how it rises out of our own individual experiences. Again, my name is Richard Hudzik, and I am a deacon. I am blessed to be deacon in the Archdiocese. I was ordained in 1998, and as the expression goes, my day job is as vicar for deacons for the Archdiocese of Chicago. My parish is Divine Providence Parish in Westchester, Illinois, in beautiful Westchester, I would say. I am married. Thursday is my anniversary, 43 years, if I do the arithmetic right.
Congratulations.
Father of three, thank you. Father of three and grandfather of eight. So that's where I come from, and as we live our faith concretely, I think some of that experience of being deacon, husband, father, grandfather may be reflected in what I have to say in the days to come. And David, who are you and what are you doing here?
Well, I'm Deacon Dave Brentsick. I'm the Associate Director for the Diaconate Office. I've been there for just under 4 years. My parish is St. Louis de Marillac in LaGrange Park. I'm married to my wife, Jane. I have two grown children and two grandchildren.
Okay. And you have a parish assignment?
Yeah, St. Louis de Marillac.
Did you say that?
I did.
And I wasn't paying attention? Okay, sorry. That's what happens when you read your notes and you're not listening. My apologies. This word diaconia, it may be unfamiliar to many people. It is the root of the word deacon. And we want to spend just a few minutes, not in a word study, but just to bring to the surface where that word might be coming from. And the word itself comes from the earliest days of the church, and indeed it comes from the Acts of the Apostles. And I just happen to have in front of me from the Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition, a few verses from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 6. And what's going on here is the roots of the diaconate. Dave, could you give us Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7?
Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists murmured against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the body of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, pick out among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands upon them. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem.
Amen. The word of the Lord. And so there we've got these, the earliest origins of of the diaconate that we point to, and we see this call to service, a phrase we will be repeating numerous times in the days to come. But this call to service was something that the apostles saw as being specially necessary to supplement, I guess you would say, the work that they did, and to make sure that the physical needs of the people were being met. It seems to be something that we continue to carry on to this day. And Dave, do you see anything there in terms of how we serve today and how that rises out of this passage from the Acts?
Well, I think that's you know, that's where it all starts, is service. You know, there are many people who are involved in the parish, whether it's, you know, as ushers or lectors or communion ministers or helping out at the fish fry with the Knights of Columbus. But it's more than that. That's the what people see. Being a deacon is being grounded in prayer and the idea of service to God and his people in whatever the person is called to do.
Okay. And this the word in the Greek text, one form or another, is diakonia, service, that is the noun. Diakonos is the person who does that sort of service. And we're gonna come back in a moment and continue to explore this, but right now we part briefly for some messages.
Here's an important message about Catholic schools from Cardinal Blaise Supich and Loyola Ramblers Chaplain Sister Jean.
Sister Jean and I have something in common, a Catholic education, and we were both educated by the sisters.
It was the best education I could ever get, based on faith, values, and respect for people of all backgrounds.
Now the sisters are passing the baton on to us to make sure that all children have a chance at Catholic school education. A new tax credit scholarship program here in Illinois offers needs-based scholarships to non-public school students. But the scholarships need to be funded.
As you know, my scouting reports are quite good, and I can tell you that donors will get a 75% state tax credit. That's a win-win for you and for students who receive the gift of a Catholic education.
To find out how to donate, go to archchicago.org. Sister Jean and I thank you for supporting our Catholic schools.
Cardinal, that's a slam dunk.
As we enter our second century of providing help and hope to anyone in need, I want to offer a special thank you to the Good Samaritans who support Catholic Charities. I'm Monsignor Mike Boland. We feed, clothe, shelter, and give job counseling to 1 million people each year. You may be of another faith or no faith, but you have faith in us. Thank you. See how you can help at CatholicCharities.net.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
Taking a cue from Pope Francis, Catholic Charities opens shower and laundry facilities for the homeless. Students from Parkland, Florida, join St. Sabina Church for a rally in March to call for stricter gun legislation and an end to violence. And St. Benedict the African Parish in Inglewood has devoted itself to creating sacred art that reflects the Black Catholic experience.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
Good morning again, everybody. This is Deacon Richard Hudzik, and I'm accompanied by faithful companion Deacon David Brensick, the Associate Director of the Chicago Diaconate. We want to welcome you all back to the inaugural broadcast of the Deacon's time on the radio, something we're calling Diakonia, a call to service. Again, the hope for this show is to talk generally about the diaconate, the meaning of the call to service, to be a show not about deacons, but a show of deacons to help others in their faith journeys and how they themselves can be active participants in their faith and bring to bear in a concrete and particular way their faith in all the circumstances of their lives. Now, before the break, we talked about the origin of the diaconate. We trace our roots back to a passage in the Acts of the Apostles where the Greek-speaking widows were being neglected, and the apostles saw the need to bring along seven good men to help with that service to all of the community, and hands were laid on them, and they were the first deacons, a sacrament, a tradition, an institution which continues down to this very day. And part of the conversation is this odd word, diakonia, this Greek word, and to tease that out just a touch, the word diakonia in the text in the Greek makes reference to being a servant or the act of service or the one who does service. One of the ways I like to think about this is that there's that familiar passage of where Jesus is with Peter, and Peter's mother-in-law is ailing. Jesus, of course, heals Peter's mother-in-law, and she gets up from her sick bed, and then in the text she goes and she, to brutalize the Greek into the English, but she diakonias them. She serves them. She is particularly and concretely being of service to them. And that's some of the flavor of what a deacon is. It's a sacrament that we're hugely blessed to have received, and it is a sacramentalizing of this function, this identity, this mission and ministry of service. So by going through that exercise of the word diakonia and deacon, it brings us to a more particularized thought explanation of what a deacon is. And again, the effort here with the show is not to provide a catechesis on the diaconate. The purpose is to hopefully illuminate everybody's lives, everybody, priest, deacon, laity, religious, you name it, all Christians are called to a ministry of service. And by talking about, excuse us, but talking about ourselves, our hope is that we will be able to offer you food for thought as to how you too might participate in service. So taking a step back, David, a deacon, who or what is a deacon? What does he do? What are his charisms?
Well, there's a threefold ministry that a deacon is ordained to: liturgy, word, and charity. Those are the three legs of the stool, if you will.
Which is the most important? Dare you say that? This is a test.
Charity would be the most important, but they're all equally important.
Don't you like service at the altar?
That's important. That's what people see. You know, every Sunday, if there's a deacon in the parish, that they'll see the deacon up at Mass assisting the priest, proclaiming the gospel, perhaps preaching. But there is so much more that a deacon does.
Such as,
well, deacons. One of the thrills, as far as that I've really loved, is baptizing. I've been able to baptize both my grandchildren as a deacon, and that is something I will always cherish. There's oftentimes deacons are called to do wake services. That again is an opportunity to reach out to people who are grieving, and to be the presence of Christ for people who are mourning the loss of a loved one. And then charity. There are so many opportunities that deacons have been involved with, from soup kitchens to food pantries to visiting the sick, working in prisons, doing Bible study. There are very, very many many things that deacons are able to do.
But can't everybody do this, Deacon Dave?
That's true, but I think the gift of holy orders is that that gives us a special grace to be God's presence at those moments where we're ministering to people.
Okay, so you've mentioned three broad categories or charisms: the function of word, teaching, instructing, such as in RCIA. You've talked about the ministry to the altar in terms of liturgical service, whether that's at the Mass or in performing the sacraments of baptism. Any other sacraments that the deacon gets involved with?
There's also matrimony,
okay.
Witnessing marriages. In fact, I'm going to have the opportunity to witness my son's marriage in the next couple months, which I'm looking forward to.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then the third dimension was the dimension, the charism, the gift of charity. Now you had initially spoke in terms of the charity being, if you will, the first among equals. And I think what we can do is explore that further when we come back from another break and bring us all up to speed on that priority.
In baseball, a change of pitch or a change up in the lineup can be a game changer. I'm Joe Madden, and the most important change I know is in the lives of the thousands who come to Catholic Charities every day for food, shelter, counseling, direction, and change. Let's step up to the plate and go to bat for Chicago's Good Samaritan, starting a second century of hope. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
The word made clear is exactly what its name implies. It's an easy-to-understand explanation of the Word of God, the Gospel. Hello. I'm Father James McElhone, Director of Biblical Formation for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I'd like to invite you to take our free online Bible study program by going to thewordmadeclear.org. Our website offers an audio-based guide to the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Listen to my lectures and follow along with the handouts provided. There are even discussion guides. You can also explore the biblical roots of the Mass. And there are links to a wide variety of biblical sources that will benefit both teachers and students of the Sacred Scriptures. Just go to wordmadeclear.org to experience our free online Bible study program. Again, it's free at wordmadeclear.org. It's the Word of God. Enjoy.
And we are back. Good morning again to the inaugural broadcast of Diaconia, A Call to Service. Deacon Richard Hudzik and Deacon David Brensick here to talk with you this morning about the diaconate. Not so much, or really not at all about us, but rather what the gift of service to God's people might mean for you. We hope to hold up the good works that our brother deacons are, and their wives are doing in the Archdiocese, and perhaps that will serve as food for thought for everybody's participation in the gift of ministry. Before the break, we were talking about the three legs of the diaconate ministry. We talked about the word, the altar, and the ministry of charity, and I was cross-examining David about is there a first among equals? Does one of those three lead the other? And I think we're getting a bit of a soft answer from David that yes, perhaps charity is the lead. It feeds the other two. But is it correct to say that that's clear and unequivocal? Or can we leave it a tad more ambiguous about all three of those playing a role?
You know, all three are important, but again, it goes back to service. That is who we are as deacons.
Okay.
It's grounded in service.
Okay. And I will not equivocate further. And I think One of the elements I would like to leave you with today is that it's probably less fruitful to think about or identify what a deacon does, that he is the guy who reads the gospel, he gives a homily, he does the baptism, he does this, that, and the other thing, but he doesn't do the mass, that's only for a priest, he doesn't do the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, that's only for a priest. So what he does or doesn't do is important, I think is groundwork for understanding, but here we can sort of turn the corner a bit and address the broader issue that may be instructive for each and every Christian. And that is to, rather than say what a deacon does, the fruitful question is to ask who a deacon is. What is his identity? And here we have this term, deacons have been called the icon of Christ the servant. That is to say that like an icon that we were familiar with from our Eastern tradition, that an icon calls us into a deeper mystery. The icon itself, as a matter of fact, is some paint and it's some wood. There's nothing of great value there, but the value of the icon is that it calls us into a contemplation of something deeper. And so, too, hopefully with deacons, it's a mighty tall order, quite frankly. But if a deacon is an icon of Christ the servant, when we are at our best, we hopefully, our prayer is that in some small way that what we do might call others to think about their own ministry of service to the people that they find in their lives. So, we're going to leave you shortly with that, and we'll return to this conversation. And we wanted to just open this up for dialogue. We can be reached at our brand spanking new website, deacons.archchicago.org. That's deacons with an S, deacons.archchicago.org. Our phone numbers are on there. Dave's identity is there. I'm there. Deacon Enrique Alonso, and others at the office. So if you have any suggestions, comments, or questions, certainly reach us through that mechanism. And as we began this show, we'd like to end it as well and conclude with this prayer that we find so powerful as the Blessed Mother blesses us and protects us and encourages us in our ministry. And so this is a conclusion of that prayer that we began with. And so I say, Mary, teacher of humility, by constantly knowing yourself to be the servant of the Lord, you were filled with the Holy Spirit. Make us docile instruments in Christ's work of redemption by teaching us the greatness of being the least of all.
Mary, teacher of the service which is hidden by your everyday and ordinary life filled with love, you knew how to cooperate with the salvific plan of God. Make deacons and all of God's people good and faithful servants, by teaching them the joy of service with an ardent love.
And may God bless you all, and we look forward to speaking with you again.
God bless.